You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed here to be conservative, solid conservative, and just plain right. It's Tuesday. It feels like Friday, but it's Tuesday, November 16th, and Copper is running the board. Hey, Copper, how you doing today?
Hello. Yeah, it's not Friday.
It's not.
It does feel like it's later than Tuesday, though.
I just feel like I have crammed 5 days worth of stuff into two. That's what I feel like. This is what I like to say. I've got 10 pounds of stuff in my 5-pound bag. But yeah. Well, Copper, get that triple dipper sound effect ready. So listen, today's show, I got some fun stuff to mix in, and we got also breaking news here and there. And as news breaks on that Rittenhouse trial, we'll jump in as needed. And I'll also tell you, too, at 3:30, now I had a call. Or was it an email? No, an email yesterday asking me for sure, and also had a DOD employee call me yesterday on the show wanting to know if there's any updates on how vaccine mandates apply to Department of Defense employees or military personnel. So we've had him on here once before, but my friend Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor is extremely qualified. Not only is he the former chief advisor to Governor Riley, the former legal advisor to Governor Ivey, he was a former state senator. He is also a field grade JAG officer in the National Guard with duty in Iraq as well. So he will come in and give us a JAG's perspective and just talk through it with us on that. So, Copper, hit that triple dipper sound effect.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so three stories you got to know. I'm going to spend some time. There's so much, I do a lot of research for the show, right? I do a lot of show prep. I got a lot of paper. Got it in my hands already. But in my research, I kept just coming across just craziness, woke stuff and things that liberals say and try to do. And I thought, I got to have that on the show. I got to have that on the show. And I thought, you know what? We're just going to have a whole section. I'm going to call it a woke carnival sideshow. That's number one on the triple dipper today. We're just going to run down the woke carnival sideshow. And I'm going to tell you what amazing things liberals have been trying to say about your rights, about life as we know it. It's going to be fun. Sort of. But number two on the triple dipper, we're going to talk about the fact that the military and first responders are facing what I would call unnatural attrition. You hear a lot of times about things that face natural attrition. What about unnatural attrition, like vaccine mandates and firings and that kind of thing? And then the last one we're going to do is foreign policy. Foreign policy right now is crashing and burning. Foreign policy right now for our country under the Biden administration is crashing and burning. And I'm going to give you sort of a walk over the world a little bit and talk about things that are happening that shouldn't be happening or shouldn't be going the way they are, even right down to the fact that breaking news today was the fact that Chairman Xi of China and our own president had a video conference, and it got a little weird, but we'll talk about that more. But listen, for the right side way here, as I do my monologue, let me just go ahead and tell you, okay, I'm about to date myself here, all right? So I remember, and maybe some of you do as well, all of the amazing events to celebrate our nation's bicentennial in 1976. Yes, 1976. So I was 11 years old. Go ahead and do the math. You'll know my age now. But I remember distinctly, things like we had bicentennial coins that were issued by the National Mint. We had nationwide celebrations. We had a fireworks displays like crazy. I had a big part myself in the bicentennial school play at Chaffee Elementary in Huntsville. It was actually filmed and aired on local TV. That was big doings back in the day. But one thing that I also remember very well, it was so cool, was the Freedom Train. Now, maybe some of you saw it as well. It was a fully reconditioned train, painted red, white, and blue, had 10 cars, and all 10 of those cars were filled with historic items from the Smithsonian and other museums that traveled around the nation to bring a touch of Americana, of American history, to towns all over the nation. People who couldn't travel to Washington, D.C. to see our national museums were now given the opportunity to view selected treasures of our nation firsthand right there in their own hometowns. And the Freedom Train came to Huntsville in 1976 when I was in fourth grade. More than 500 treasures were on that train. Things like George Washington's copy of the Constitution, the original Louisiana Purchase document, Judy Garland's dress from The Wizard of Oz, Joe Frazier, the boxer, his boxing trunks, Martin Luther King Jr.'s pulpit and his robes. There was replicas of Jesse Owens' 4 Olympic gold medals from 1936. There was, and I remember this distinctly, a pair of Wilt Chamberlain's basketball shoes because they were huge. And there was a rock from the moon. I mean, all these things and more were in this train. You would walk through the train cars like a museum. And it toured all 48 of our contiguous states from April 1st of 1975 till December 31st of 76. More than 7 million Americans got to visit that train during its tour, while millions more stood, you know, trackside to watch it go by. My fourth grade class from Chaffee Elementary again went to see it on a field trip, and I was just, man, I was enamored. I couldn't stop talking about it, so my mother took my brother and I to see it again on another day. Now, apparently I've always loved history, I guess, fascinated by it. I like knowing the facts and the stories of the places where I'm walking. I'm the guy that will actually pull over once in a while on the side of the road just to read a historic marker. And I, you know, I guess as a result, I love history museums. So, the term history, I mean, first of all, think about this. The term history evolved from an ancient Greek verb that means to know. And the Greek word, historia, originally meant inquiry, the act of seeking knowledge, as well as the knowledge that results from that inquiry. And so from there, it's just a short jump over to the account of the events that make history. You can put them all together and call them stories. So history. Those stories tell a people where they're from, what their heritage is, what their traditions are, their history, good or bad, should not be forgotten, overlooked, and certainly not to be rewritten to appease a certain narrative. But we are seeing that more and more right now. I mean, look around you. I mean, watch the news. Read social media. There's a distinct movement afoot right now to try and rewrite the narrative of America's stories, to pretend that we are not what we thought we are. Are we a warring state? No. Have we gone to war in our nation's history? Certainly. Who hasn't? But we are not a warmongering nation. And our history would not support such claims, and yet a faction of progressive society would have you believe that our history is stained with imperialistic tendencies. That's hogwash. What about this? Does racism exist? Yes. Have we shown evidence of racism in our nation's history? Yes. Are we a racist nation? Absolutely not. And yet museums and parks and statues are all being amended, revised, and even torn down to address a perception of national racism. Never mind the fact that this country has done more to eradicate slavery and stigmatize racism than any other in the history of, you know, ever. What about politics? So polarizing. Some would say it's always the same old, different faces, don't change the narrative. Well, wake up, read some history. Politics goes in waves. Politics follows societal trends. Look back and you'll see in our history not only a shift in parties, you'll see that we were not always even a two-party nation, that we were often watching politics and spending and conservative versus progressive. It shifts with the times, which means it can shift again. Or how about this one? Our legal system. We are a nation of laws. Laws have evolved over time. But what has remained true is that we are a nation of laws, with each citizen afforded certain rights to due process, to confront their accusers, to adequate representation. Any perceived inequities in our judicial system are situational, not systemic. Our history will show that we still have the best legal system in the world. I mean, try getting arrested in many other countries around the world and just see what you think then. But here's the deal. We have to stay in tune with our actual history. Whether we like it or not, we cannot allow ourselves to be victimized into a revisionist version of who we are or who we've been, because that will set an evil tone for who we'll become. I can fully acknowledge with disdain that slavery was part of our past. I can also fully celebrate the fact that it was outlawed in the first 75 years of our nation's existence. It should be taught as that thing that happened, that should never happen again, and as that thing that we as a nation also chose to eradicate, but we cannot allow activists to tell us that it still exists or that we are systemically challenged by our past. Groups like the 1619 Project and others will do all that they can to twist the narrative. They will tell us that we are not who we believe we are, that success was falsely or wrongly obtained, that we are, as a people, undignified, decrepit, and without moral authority, and I call bunk on that. Your own personal history is often referred to as your testimony. It's your recounting of your own events in your life, something that no one can ever take away. I mean, think about it. When Peter and John were called on the carpet to be confronted by the religious leaders, they were told in Acts chapter 4 to never speak the name of Jesus again. What did Peter answer? He said in verse 13, I believe it was, he said, I cannot stop speaking what I have seen and heard, because it was his story. It was part of his history, and it guided him. The same is true for bodies of people collectively, like communities and nations. So I believe there's two rules about history. One that everyone knows is the old adage that if we do not pay attention to our history, then we're doomed to repeat it, meaning that we must always see the true vision, good and bad, of our past and work to avoid those past mistakes. But the second one is sort of an adage of my own making, I guess. I believe that if we allow our history to be rewritten, to have our stories removed or abolished, that we will lose sight of our future. It is the stories of our past that set the tone for our future. Past successes breed more successes. Past failure breeds resilience and a desire to overcome. Past victories breed patriotism. Past defeats build a desire to never be in that position again. The past is not where we should live. You cannot rest on your past. But you must remember it. You must understand it. It is from your past that you build your testimony, that story, like Peter and John, that no one can ever take away from you, because it's your story. History, I say know it. Embrace it and live better because of it. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I would love to know if anybody else out there remembers the Freedom Train in 1976. Some of y'all as old as I am, I know you are. Some of y'all went to school right here in town. You probably went on the same field trips I did. It was so cool. The Freedom Train. I wonder where it is now. It needs to come back around. History. Pay attention. History is what it is. Future is what you make it. But the future is built on your history. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.